Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Coachella Lisa Show. Well, it is Tuesday morning. Oh, I am excited. I am excited, and I think you should be excited, too. Today is Tuesday, as you heard us announce. Last week, we will be each week on Tuesday. We will have a very special guest and topic as well, presented by none other than Mr. Terry Benjamin, our very special guest. You can find him on the internet. He is he founded In-House Publishing. He's an author, professor. He's a friend and an encourager. I tell you, a mentor, a leader, a mover, and a shaker. And he's still shaking after 60. Listen, you all need to get online and call in. You have questions you want to ask. This is an expert, and he's got so much to tell you about. I hope you got your pens, your pads, you're ready to take some notes. Take lots of notes, because he is going to be giving us so much wisdom. And we're talking today, the theme, his weekly theme is healthy aging and living and lifelong learning. Healthy aging and lifelong learning. So this week, the focus theme is it's never too old to be wealthy and never too late. So without further ado, I want to let him in on this discussion this morning. And don't forget, call into the show, 347-945-7991, and we'll be ready to take your call. Don't forget to hit your number one key so we'll know that you are ready to come on the line. Terry Benjamin, welcome, welcome, welcome back.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. How you doing?
This is such a great topic. It's never too old to be wealthy. You know, that is so, boy, I know you've done your research, and I know I'm listening. And the beautiful thing about this show is that it is in the archives, so people can go back and listen to it as many times as they want to get all those nuggets of wisdom. But I want you to talk to us today. Let's talk about this. It's never too old, and you said it's never too late. And
no,
so many people think it's too late.
Well, that's the problem, but they have to understand, especially if you are like 50 or going to your 60s, you already have a wealth of life experience. Mm. And the thing we need to do is take that life experience and translate it into some real wealth.
Mm.
What happens a lot of times is we keep on thinking that everybody is ahead of us, not realizing the wealth that we have within ourselves. All we need to do is break down. But I think what happens, and we talked about it last time, about the book Think and Grow Rich. Well,
right.
People are not thinking because they're not feeding their minds anything to think about.
Mm.
Okay? And I think, again, I think it goes back to our diet. And what I'm talking about now is our mental diet. And before our last show, we talked about the whole project I'm working on is a book called Sexy at 60. Glory days, questions that matter, answers that reveal. And in the book and in the research, well, I speak to people who are between 60 and 69. And at least I just want to drop some, give your readers, your listeners, something very special. I've gotten together with a group of people just to show that it's never too late to learn new skills. I decided to make Sexy at 60, not just a book, but now it's going to be a book and a documentary.
Wow.
And we're working on it at
That's
the same
good.
Time. I mean, it's just, I mean, I think it goes back to one of the books that I read. It seems like now every other week is a book called The Secret by Rhonda Burns.
Right.
And
right.
then basically The Secret is the law of attraction. If you move in the direction of your purpose, if you move in the direction of your wealth, you'll find that people will be attracted to you along the way that can help you get things together, okay?
You know,
but the reason that we're not as successful as we could be because we don't share our vision.
And who should we be okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, we'll share our vision with like-minded people. Don't share your vision with somebody who's going to say, well, I don't see how, I don't think you do that, Lisa. I don't think that's going to work. You can't really be around those people. You can't talk to those people because those are the dream killers.
Mm.
We don't need to be around dream killers. We need to be around the dream makers and the movers and the shakers. And when you get around those people, you'll be surprised how things just sort of take off. Like I said, I'm with a group of people who are producers. They produce commercials. They've done other things, and now this is a new challenge for them. But it's a new challenge for me as well. But it goes back to the whole thing. It never, never limits your dreams. Because sometimes we say, well, that's, I don't know. I don't know how it's possible. It's really not your job to think about what's possible. Your job is to dream. And the bigger your dream, the bigger your reward. And the more you wealth.
Well, Terry, you know what? You are talking, oh, my God. You are talking so right and so powerful because, you know, definitely you are living proof of that of that law of attraction.
Yes.
Because I was operating in the law of attraction without even knowing what it was.
Exactly.
But all I was, and I kept telling people when they would ask me, how did you go from a jail cell to working on a PhD? And again, it was, like you said, I began to just move in what I was wanting to do. And everything began to fall in place. I had no clue that that was something called, because I could have been wrote the secret had I knew what that was. It was happening to me, as a matter of fact. When it first started happening back in 1987, I said, started happening around 86, I got a little scared.
Okay.
And I said to myself, it seems like everything I touch turns to gold.
Yes, yes.
But I didn't even realize that it was that I was moving, because as long as I was moving forward in my dream and what I wanted to have and do, everything was beginning to happen, and that's, you know, wow, I can't even believe this. This is, like, amazing.
Yeah,
I've been trying to explain to people what's happened. Now I can easily sum it up.
Well, I think the sad thing is that we are in a culture that people, they get these ideas in their mind and they can't shake them. They have to realize that, you know, people say things, And they become cliches, and for some people, they become reality. Like some people think there's this old cliche that says, no pain, no gain. But, you know, it's almost 2012, and that has to be changed because, really, that's not really true. You know, because, again, if there is pain, then you're doing something wrong. Okay? You're doing something wrong if there's pain because you're exercising. You're not exercising to hurt yourself. You're exercising to make yourself better. And that's why, you know, as we get older, I mean, I always like to work out. I don't do the same workout that I did when I was 20. Now my workout consists more of meditation, more of yoga, okay, stretching, walking, because that's age appropriate. I can't do what I used to do unless I'm going to hurt myself. But we have to be wise, and that's why the thinking comes in, and that's why as we go through our conversation today, I'm going to be throwing in some books, I'm going to be throwing some authors, I'm going to be pulling from different books, because you got to change your mind. Okay, one book that I have on my desk right now is a book called Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. Okay, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind is subtitled Mastering the Inner Game of Wealth. And this is by T. Harv Eker. That's T-H-A-R-V Eker. And again, it's subtitled again, Think Rich to Get Rich. Think Rich to Get Rich.
Well, they talk about a lot. You know, there's a lot of research and there are a lot of speakers out there and authors who talk about this mindset. And, you know, even in the Bible it talks about, as a man thinketh, so is he. So, you know, again, and just for a second, I just want to let people know, please call in if you have a question for Mr. Benjamin Terry. Just call him Terry. Call in 347. I don't want to give them a tongue twister, but 347-945-7991. Ask away your questions. If you were here last week, you know he has a wealth of knowledge. I can tell you, I'm just thrilled to death that you're my friend. You just don't know. Wow. But keep going.
And it's funny because people, you know, again, mindset. Back in the day, a lot of people felt that it was noble to be poor. Okay, you showed how humble you were, the poor you were. Okay, and you didn't talk about wealth. You didn't think about wealth because that was a dirty thing. But you know, people use the Bible in many different ways. But I like to use the Bible as well because again. If you want to use the Bible, I mean, I read all books. I read a lot of books, and Bible is one of those books. If you want to go to Bible, let's go to Psalms 23:1, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." To be rich is not to be snobbish and to think you do better than anybody else. To be rich is to have options. That's all it is. We have options. You know. Malcolm Forbes, probably one of the richest men ever, he says, money doesn't make you different. It makes your circumstances different. You know?
No, that's right.
Right. You know, it gives
like
you options.
That.
You know?
I like that. Money don't see. Listen, and you know what? This is what I'm loving because I be like dump on the knowledge, dumping on because I'm around at least 20 women on a regular basis, and I'm like, listen, you dump it straight to me, and I'm dumping it straight on them. But I love it. So knowledge, you said, money doesn't make you different; it makes your situation different.
Exactly.
Wow.
And we need a change of situation as we grow older. You know, we're going to grow older, okay? And we're not going to have the energy that we had before. And that's why if I do something, I have to pace myself. I can't just run out my energy. I have to pace myself, but I have to know what I'm capable of as well. But there are times when I just can't hold back. There are times I have to really get out there and do what I need to do, but the thing is, like I said, going back to the whole thing with like-minded people, you really have to get around people who encourage you. You know, you got to get around people who, when you come, they're glad to see you because they know that we're going to do something great. You know, you got to go to where people don't, and I think you said this before, where people don't tolerate you, but they celebrate you.
Exactly.
You know, because, I mean, being rich for me is a party. You know?
I know that's
party because I can go where I want to go. I can see what I want to see. I can wear what I want to wear. I can eat what I want to eat. Oh, man. It's, you know, every day is a party for me.
Well, remember our good buddy. Remember our good buddy, Dr. Dennis Kimbrough said.
Oh, please, yes.
He said that the pocketbook can't grow until the mind grows.
Yes. Because a lot of us are limited by our self-esteem. You see, we don't believe that we deserve to be rich. We don't believe that we deserve to have that big house or that car and have those vacations. You know, we have low self-esteem. That's for other people, not for me.
You know? We just can't see it, and we just can't see it. I can't see myself. You know,
exactly.
I can't see myself the CEO of companies in this state and that state and that state and doing business overseas. So, and then if we're going to say that, now we're tapping into something Dr. Wayne Dyer said, is that if you cannot see it in your mind's eye, then you cannot achieve it.
Well, that's the point. I mean, again, in other words, when you believe it, you'll see it.
There you go. Look at that.
Because if you don't believe it, I mean, that's why I know, and you probably as well. Before I even began teaching, I was a teacher. I didn't know it.
All right now.
I didn't know it, but you know, I know, like all teachers, you see yourself in a classroom, you see yourself in front of people, and you see yourself talking, and you don't think it's you because, well, I'm kind of shy and I don't have a lot of knowledge, and I never went to school to be a teacher, But it's there. And when you do it, it's almost like deja vu.
Exactly.
That's what I thought. A friend of mine who was working at Union County College said, Terry, would you she said, look, my schedule is just too booked, and I don't have time. Would you teach this one course for me? And I said, well, and naively I said, okay. Not realizing what I was getting myself into.
Mm.
And the first morning of that class, I walked into my class with my books and whatnot, and it was me and 30 white kids.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow, this is going to be fun. So we began to meet every morning, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We began to bond. You know, I began to become a lot less self-conscious and comfortable. And then the teacher came in to evaluate me. But by that time, me and the students had bonded. So we were friends. We forgot that he was in there.
Mm.
We just started having our fun and having our good time. And after the class was over, he came up to me and said, you know what? He said, you have a gift for this. And I'm going to say, what? Because at that point, I was a full-time college administrator. And teaching at best could be just a hobby for me, nothing that I would do on a full-time basis. And because, you know, Lisa, let's be honest, you know, teachers don't make a lot of money. In college, the money is in college administration. That's why I became an administrator. And I didn't really get into my teaching really tough until I retired. I retired at 57. And then I got into teaching tough, and I was teaching at Essex County College, Kane College, Kane University, Seton Hall, all over the place, you know, because then I had more time, and I was, you know, I was unleashed.
You were unleashed, that's right.
I unleashed my power.
Boy, oh boy, did you release your power. And it's so funny that you would say that. You released your power. Because here's the thing, because you know what, in the introduction,
uh-huh.
I start that book out with saying, everything I am, I've always been. Or at least I've always had the power to be. I said the problem is I didn't know it.
Yes.
And that's right there. And so when you said that, boy, you know, that just really resonated with me.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, we have more in common than I can ever know. But I think about also the scripture says in Mark 11:24, he said, if you believe it, then you receive it, then you'll have it. Even God says you're only going to have it when you believe it. And we still running around, even people who say they believe those scriptures or believe that they believe the one that wrote it, and they still say, they still deny what they should have in terms of greatness, wealth, health, or whatever else that they can. He said, if you can believe that you received it, then you already have it.
Well, that's the point. I mean, if you want to really just take it a step further, I mean, go to Shakespeare, you know. Shakespeare says, 'tis the mind that makes the body rich. Tis the mind that makes the body rich. The mind.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
Not the paycheck.
Wow.
Because
we're
so limited, and, you know, in our minds, in comparison to the Most High, our minds are so small that we can't conceive of what's in store for us. We can't conceive it. And that's why sometimes I don't think about it. If I thought about it, I would run it high.
You'll limit yourself. You would limit yourself.
You would.
You would limit yourself because the mind doesn't want it, because that's a stretching. In order for the mind to see that, the mind would have to do such a stretching. And we already know that in the physical, people don't like to do a lot of stretching.
No, they don't.
Don't like to get out of the boat. Don't like to be different from the pack. Because when the pack, you have to, you know, the pack will say, no, you shouldn't do that. Or we don't, that's why you said earlier, you got to get around the people. Certain people, you can't be around everybody, and like you said, and if you have to be around them, for instance, you're married to them, you can't share everything with them, because they're dream killers.
Yeah, and sometimes, let's understand this, Lisa, okay, let's understand that sometimes the people who ask us to limit ourselves are concerned for us. Like a parent says, you know, don't run too fast, because you might fall down, don't climb up too high, Johnny, because, you know, you're going to hurt yourself. Susie, don't jump rope like that, because, you know, you might hurt yourself. Not realizing that you're holding that person back. That person has to learn how to make their own mistakes. I mean, it's okay, it's all right to fall, but you don't stay there.
Mm.
Okay, because we're going to fall, but you know what? I tell anybody, I said, you know, in the course of the day, I might try maybe 100 things and maybe 60 might work out, but those other 40, I laugh and keep on stepping.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I told myself, man, hey, look, well, you really messed that up. But okay, let's try it again.
Mm-hmm. 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 And like you say, look at the lesson that you're going to learn.
Exactly,
from
the
that.
Lesson. And don't beat
wow.
yourself about it. See, some people, I mean, there's some people, you give them a compliment and it's like, oh, that, you know, that's a really nice suit that you have on today. Oh, that old thing. I mean, just make it keep on stepping. You know, don't beat yourself
love.
Down.
But you know, you're right, and I love to do that as well. It's so because so people are so used to that, especially with women. You know, somebody might compliment your hair. Oh, I like your hair. Oh, I need a touch up. Or, I need a perm. Or I haven't been to the beauty salon in 6 weeks. Nobody asked you when the last time you've been to the beauty salon.
No.
We just told you that it looked nice.
So they would appreciate you. Okay. But I think a lot of times we don't appreciate ourselves. We don't celebrate ourselves, and sometimes people think that's being like selfish and narcissistic and whatnot. But it's really not, because sometimes you have to really almost hypnotize yourself to be successful. You have to also almost like put on the blinders, and like you're reading a list of things, and there's a list of the positives, and there's a list of the negatives. I don't even read the negatives. I just read the positives.
Hmm.
I mean, I know the negatives are there, but if I read it, I'm dwelling on it. No, I'm just going to deal with what I want and not what I don't want. And the secret, it tells you focus on what you want, not what you don't want. Focus on the good, not the bad that might happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There may be some bad, but you know what? If you focus on the good, they said that a positive thought is 20 times stronger than a negative thought.
Yeah,
that's why the positive always wins, because, you know, the negative can't stand up to the positive. The negative is just too strong.
Wow. Well, I tell you, that is good. This is information that is so good and so needed in this hour, especially you got we got the seniors, we got the people talking about 60 plus. I know you got your book coming out. Sexy at 60. You're doing your seminars and your workshops with your topic, healthy aging, and lifelong learning. You're going around the country and the world, and I'm so glad that you're able to stop by here on the Coach LaLisa, because we deal with a lot of people that are in those age categories that can tune in and get their life back, get their groove back. Really release your power, and don't worry about, like you said, how old you are. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you do have.
Well, that's the point. And what happens is, like I said, but it goes back to mindset, and it goes back to the fact that you got to read. I mean, we can talk, but see, reading gets you into a meditative state. You're reading and you're meditating and you're focused on that. I mean, the Bible says, you know, without a vision, the people perish. And my question to your listeners is, what is your vision? And you got to get that, and you got to hold that. And I'm saying, if you're like 50, 60, and going to 70, you've had a lot of time to think about what you really want out of life. You had time to develop that vision and to make it crystal clear. And understand, see, visions are not goals, okay? A goal is what's going to get you there. But if you don't have that vision, you don't have any goals, because what's the point? I mean, you know, like
right.
Yogi Berra said,
what's the point?
You know, if you don't know where you're going, you can take any road.
Sure. And I heard somebody say, and I can't give the quote in center, but they said, if you don't know where you're going, how will you know when you get there?
Exactly right.
In other words, how can you even celebrate where you are if you didn't even know that you were even trying to get here, why you were trying to get, you don't even know the reason you're here. I see students show up every day like that. They cannot celebrate the moment because this, where they're at, was never part of a goal of where they were trying to get.
Of course, because I have students come into the class and they can't wait to sign their name on the attendance sheet. Mm-hmm. Then they blank out.
Because
mm-hmm. they're embodied, but their mind is
exactly
self.
Yeah, because where they are is not a part of a goal with where they're trying to get. So
no,
when I went to class, mm-hmm. I had to already had the where I was trying to get was the higher degree, was that degree. And
I didn't.
When I was working on an associate, I wasn't even thinking about a PhD, but I wanted my associate.
Yes,
knew that, and that was the vision to get my to graduate with that. So every day, I went to class was happy, howdy ho, ho. It was celebration time because it was a part of the vision, and it was just one of the goals achieved. Every time I went to class, I looked at goal achieved. Every time I turned in an assignment. Goal achieved. And I try to teach that to my students, Terry, because but like you said, they can't see it.
No, they can't see it.
They
because,
can't
again,
see the vision and goal.
You're right. And
the
also,
vision and goal thing.
The people, and sometimes the people around them don't share it as well. You know, I just want to share mm-hmm. something we've been talking about, Dennis Kimbrough, and I just want to just throw this out to your listeners, because, again, we talk about lifelong learning, and Kimbrough is in his book, What Makes the Great Great. He talks about, he gives us nine disciplines of wealth. Okay.
Yes.
And number six is dedication to lifelong learning.
Mm-hmm.
And he says here, if you wish to be successful, study success.
Mm-hmm.
If you wish to be happy, study
mm-hmm.
happiness.
Mm-hmm.
If you desire great wealth, study the acquisition of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I said these people, they read. It's their curiosity that propels them forward. Education involves both learning of the new and unlearning of the old. Now, some things
mm-hmm.
you got to unlearn because it's not working for us anymore. You know?
Well,
I'm just a poor, humble person. Well, that might have worked, when you were kids, but now we and people don't. I mean, I don't like to see people, sort of moping around, talking about, "Oh, woe is me," "poor me."
And you're not all that humble when you're going around saying, "I'm just so humble." First of all, when you're really humble, you're boasting because now you're boasting about your humbleness.
Uh-huh.
When people say, "Oh, I'm so humble," I kind of like, so you're boasting about your humbleness. So you're really not humble at all, because
right.
truly humbleness, you would never say a word, because
no.
if you're really humble, you wouldn't even care how people saw you, because Jesus did not care. Now He was truly
right.
humble. You never hear him saying, "I'm humble."
No, because
you hear
the way
others
he was,
say he's humble.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. But I think what happens when I see humble, I feel every time I start a new semester, every time I start a new class, I'm humble by the fact that I have a job to do,
Yeah.
And I know I have skills, abilities, and talents, but is it enough? See, I never get arrogant. I never get overconfident in class. Because I don't know
mm-hmm.
what the students might need, and I'm the type of person, if I have any success in teaching, it's because I'm a great sharer. I
mm-hmm.
love to share what I have. I mean, because, I know for me, and probably for you, the more you teach, the more you learn. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, "He who teaches learns twice."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He who teaches learns twice.
Amen.
And again, and if you want to, and I tell my students, if you want to learn something, have a conversation about it. Because when you talk about it, you see what you're doing. And when a rapper, Busta Rhymes, says, don't talk about it, be about it.
Well, I like that, too. I like to tell my students that, too. So I guess I really am a teacher. And
you
I never thought I was trying to be one, because I tell my students that as well. I said, because when you talk about it, that's when you can talk about it and explain it to someone else.
Yes, please.
I tell them this all the time. I tell them that's when you know that you know it. And I tell my students, until you can explain it to someone else, whether you explain it to yourself by writing it down, let's say you have no one else around you to talk to about this, you can then write it down then. Then it would write it down without notes, without looking at anything, without listening to any prompts. When you can write it down and explain it on paper or speak it out to someone, I said, I don't care if it's a little kid. I said, that's even better. I said, that's even better. If you can explain the theories of economics or whatever to a little five-year-old, you doing something, and that they can repeat any of it back. They don't have to repeat the whole thing. But that's when you know it. But they don't get that concept. And today, Terry, if I was in school today, oh, my goodness, so totally different with the Internet. My God, I would start, if I was in school today, working on my bachelor's or my political science degree, I would start a blog on that topic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because you have everything at your disposal right now, you know?
Yes.
Everything is at your fingertips. It's really no excuse to tell the truth.
None. These kids have no excuse, but they can go on and text all of their friends all day and all night. And it amazes me that unfortunately, even their parents don't always get it. Parents still are allowing their children, they're accepting these failure grades, and when the kids tell them, Mommy, I just can't get it, Daddy, I just can't get it, they accept that. But you can sit there and watch your child spend 3 or 4 hours texting a friend.
Of course, and I think it goes back to the whole thing. I think a lot of times, you know, people are raised in a poor mindset culture. I mean, they don't have any ambitions because their parents have ambitions. I think, you know, we have to think in terms of, and I know you think about it, I think about it as well, that we're future thinking people. And we're sitting here talking now, but my mind, as well as your mind, is 10, 20 years down the road. You know, we're not here right now. We're a little further down. And only because we're forward thinking, we know that yesterday
you gotta be.
Is done. You know?
Well, you
so
know, I heard it
right now.
Well, I heard a gentleman say once, and I never forgot it. And I heard him say this when I was around 26.
Yes.
He was working at the time for Bell Labs, and he said to me, and I don't know how we got to this subject, but he said to me, Bell Labs is always 50 in terms of their engineering and what they're designing, he says we're always 50 years into the future.
Yes.
He said the products you're using now, and this was going back into 86, he said, 86, he said the products that were out then, I mean, like, you know, push-button phones have been out for a little while, but, you know, still, he said the products that we have now, we had created those products 50 years ago.
Of course. And that's why I tell my students, you have to invest in yourself. Now, when I go, like I said, when I get paid, my first thing is I go to the bookstore, and I spend about $100 worth of books, because the thing is that I like to get the books as soon as they come out, because even then the information is not current, because it takes some time to actually publish a book. But if you wait until it becomes a paperback book, it's a lot cheaper. I mean, you missed that lesson, and people who have gotten a lesson, they moved on to something else. And you're still back there at the starting gate, wondering what happened. So you have to make an investment. You have to make an investment in yourself, and that's what it is. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but at colleges, I've gotten to the point where someone says, I shake my head at them because, like, someone refused to buy the book. You know, they refuse. They figure out, look on somebody else's book and whatnot. But you should have your own book. It's like you're having, like, a carpenter with his own tools. You can't go on a job and say, can I borrow your hammer? Can I borrow some nails or whatnot? You got to be equipped for what you're about, because I can't take you seriously if you don't have the proper tools.
And that's amazing, because I see that same thing with students that don't want to buy the book. And sometimes I just say to them, I just shake my head.
Because I do too.
Poor students ever, but every semester I got my books. I signed whatever I could. I didn't. I always had my book at least a week class, if not two. I would go and I would find out what textbook the professor was going to use, and I had my book at least a week, if however early they would release the book title and put it in that bookstore. I was there. I always had my financial aid paperwork in order.
Yes.
You know what? Because I had dropped out of school the way I did and I flunked miserably, when I went to college, I was really deathly afraid.
Okay.
And I did everything over, like, I didn't just
full
go
company.
To the other side. I went way over to the other side because it was based on fear in a sense, but that is what, the fear can push you to some success.
No doubt about it. But the thing is, Lisa, you fell down, but you didn't stay down. And I know for myself, part of my success is, I'm afraid that I might be exposed as a fraud. Maybe people think he's not as smart as I thought he would. So I make sure I'm like you. I overcompensate.
There you go. That's the word.
They say read 5 books for the class. I'm reading 15 books.
All right.
Because I'm too afraid to be found out knowing the material. So I overcompensate. But sometimes that's better. I tell my students, if you are on time, you're late.
Wow.
You should be here at least half an hour to 15 minutes before the class starts. When I travel to different colleges and whatnot, and in my mind, my philosophy is that no matter what school I go to, I try to be on campus 1 hour before the class starts.
Oh, you're right. And I know because
I think you're still the same way.
For the 4 years I worked at Essex, you were there. I saw you. Know you're right. I know you're telling the truth. You were on that campus. I'd see you. And I tell you, this is good.
But sometimes people make excuses. And one of the things that people know about me is, it was a big secret, not a big secret now, but I'm 61 years old. I've never driven a car.
Last week and I just fell out my chair.
But, the thing is, I'm always on time, and I find that a lot of people who do have cars, they have the 15-minute, I call it 50-minute rule, that they figure no matter where they have to go, they can get there in 15 minutes. And it's not always possible because there's traffic and that kind of stuff, But with me, I know I have to get out of my house at least an hour before because, there are delays and whatnot. But it's taught me to look at life in a different way. It's taught me great patience. I mean, I have the patience of Job. Because, I always, in my bag, I always have a fiction book and a nonfiction book. So I'm reading, sometimes I'm writing, sometimes I'm just thinking. But with me, I think at this particular point, my wife said maybe I shouldn't learn how to drive because I'm too distracted, I might hurt somebody and myself.
Maybe you shouldn't do what?
Maybe I shouldn't drive because I'm too distracted, I tell the joke, Lisa, I said, but I remember my first driving lesson.
But wait a minute, and you found a wife. Not one, but two. You had one, and now you have... And you ain't even got... You can't even drive.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but I'll jump on a plane in a minute. Train, boat, train, whatever, And it's so funny, I tell people my first driving lesson. I remember my first driving lesson, I almost hit two people in a tree. And that was just coming out of the driveway.
Oh, jeez.
So, I'm doing everybody a favor, right?
You can see how busy this man is and all that he does and everywhere he all who he knows. Unreal.
It's the walking,
It's one thing to say you don't drive because neither does Donald Trump drive because he has a chauffeur. I don't know if the man drives or not, but I'm just assuming that he has a chauffeur. So that he can take care of business while he's in the back seat. But now you are actually taking the bus and walking. I've seen you, and I've given you a ride at once, maybe. I didn't really realize, because I would have known, and I probably would have remembered. I thought maybe, a person's car could be out of, you give somebody a ride, you drop them off at the station. People have cars, and they take the bus and train to New York every day.
But it's funny because people make it good. I mean, one time I was in a classroom, and this guy kept on coming late to class. I said, what's wrong? I said, you got to come to class you know, because, you know, you're going to fail. He said, well, Professor Benjamin, I have a big problem. I said, what's your big problem? He said, I don't have a car. I said, hello, I don't have a car either. I'm here every day on time. So that's no excuse. You better come better than that.
Benjamin, you better.
Trust me at all.
Here's the thing. Let me make sure that the people who are on the line know exactly who to, because if you tuned in late, you are listening to author, professor, motivational speaker, leader, advocate, oh goodness, he father, husband, he is a publisher, he owns his own publishing company, in-house publishing. They have about at least four titles under their belt that I know of. They have movie deals going on, him and Mr. Tobias Fox. I want to give a shout out to him, so many others, I can't think of the names, but here, Mr. Benjamin, he is talking, he's coming on every Tuesday, he'll be right here on the Coach LaLisa with Coach LaLisa. We're talking and discussing his very new book and topic, Sexy at 60, Healthy Aging, and Lifelong Learning. So that's why you hear him dropping all the nuggets of wisdom. He's dropping authors. You can go read it for yourself. He's giving you the title of the books and what these people have said, and talking about some healthy aging practices. And one of the healthy aging practices, he's talked about exercising and stretching, meditating. He's talked about reading and writing. Go back and listen to the archives the last Tuesday. He gave us five things that we ought to do every day. But one of the things he's talking today, his focus is that it's never too old or never too late to be wealthy. So he's talking about stretching the mind, changing your mindset. He's also sharing some things that in the past hindered him from moving in that direction. Didn't hinder him for long, but, you know, letting you know, and I've shared a few things as we're talking, and I tell you, he was a professor full-time. It seemed like you were full-time, even though I know your full-time job at Union County College was to work. An admissions counselor. That's what I knew you as, an admissions counselor.
Right.
And I thank God you had that job, because I really think I would have been lost over there at UCC had you not been sitting in that office on the evening that I came to enroll. And
I saw that you were a person who was, you know, again, future thinking, you know. It's funny because I think, you know, one of the things, and especially as you get older, you tend to lose confidence only because you tend to get fearful. But I want to just, this is a quote from a book called Unstoppable Confidence. And this is Unstoppable Confidence. This is from Kent Sayer. And he's a neuro-linguistic program expert. I mean, he talks about the mind and that kind of stuff. And he says here, and I quote, not only does language reflect a person's thinking, but it also reinforces a person's thinking. And let me say it again. Not only does language reflect a person's thinking, but also reinforces a person's thinking. That's why I tell my students, you have to build your vocabulary. The more words you have, the clearer your thinking. Okay, I've seen students I've seen speakers on podiums trying to search for words. You know, when you're searching for words, obviously you don't have enough words to express yourself the way you want to express yourself. So many students with, you know, not to watch that stop once. No, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean, not mean? I don't know what that is. You know.
Well, I got a little got a little bit more sophisticated with mine, I'll say. You know what I mean? it means the same thing, so I hear you loud and clear. And what you're saying is, if you don't have anything to share of value, if you don't have anything to say that is worth anything, then probably cut the speech to about a minute.
Yes.
And keep moving.
Well, that's the point. And again, but I think, you know, again, the reason why we're dwelling on this is because, again, like I said, you know, you want to change your life, you change your thinking. And Napoleon Hill said, again, he says that positive and negative emotions cannot occupy the mind at the same time. So you have a choice. You can think positive or you can think negative. You can't think in both at the same time.
Right. Well, listen to this. I want you to just listen to folks for a minute. Just check it out for the sake of checking it out.
Yes.
Angela King and Marcy Chase stood before Reverend Jackie Brown, looking absolutely beautiful. They both had their hair done at Karen Jackson's beauty salon. Marcy wore a white mini dress with lacy panels and ankle tie sandals. On her fingers were white crotch fingerless gloves. Angela wore a black man-style tuxedo and black lapels and a pinched waist. On her feet were black patent leather pumps. I just thought I'd do that for the sake of it. I happened to look here on my shelf and pull out a book that was published by In-House Publishing and written by Mr. Terry Benjamin. So here at midnight. So Mr. Terry Benjamin is an author doing phenomenal things. And anyway, just, you know, great work. And just to think, the book is sitting right there on my shelf, and I'm talking to you right here live on Coach Lisa Show. Just amazing.
And it's funny because, again, I think people understand. I mean, we can talk about intellect, you know, a lot, but I think imagination is even better, because sometimes if we imagine ourselves in a certain place, the mind can take us there. You know, I think that's why I encourage students to read books, but also look at magazines. Looking at magazines, looking at pictures, I think Oprah, her thing is the vision board, okay? The vision board. You will look at magazines, you pull out things that you would like to see, that you would like to have, and you put it on a board and look at it every day, and your mind looks at that, and your mind sees that. And a lot of times what that mind sees is what you can have.
Okay.
You know, and I'm going to read another quote. This is from a gentleman named Maxwell Maltz. And he says here, "We learn to function successfully by experiencing success. Memories of past success act as a built-in stored information, which gives us self-confidence for the present task." You know, I think a lot of us don't do what we should or how we can because we lack confidence. You know, we lack confidence. And one book I really recommend to your listeners is a book called Today We Are Rich, and the subtitle, Harnessing the Power of Total Confidence. And this is by Tim Sanders. Today We Are Rich, Harnessing the Power of Total Confidence. This is Tim Sanders. And in the book, he just says that we have to really build up our self-confidence so we can have have what we deserve. You know, one of the books that Les Brown wrote is a book called You Deserve. A lot of people don't get things because they don't think they deserve it. You know, you say you want a good man or a good woman, but you say, well, but I know I'm not a good man or a good woman, so make that change. Make that change. Be that good man. Be that good woman. Okay? And have the confidence that, you know, that's why sometimes I think a lot of times we settle for so much less, because we don't believe that we deserve more. And if you keep on thinking that you don't deserve more, you're not going to get more. How about that? You know? But if you feel that you deserve it, and you feel that you put in the work, you put in the time, we go back to that 10,000 hours I talked about last week. If you want to be expert at your field, put in at least 10,000 hours, and you will become an expert in that particular field. You know?
That's good. That's good for all the would-be experts out there. Wonderful. If you want to dial in, if you have a question, if you're already on the phone line, just hit your number one key, and you can ask Mr. Benjamin. Take advantage of this. If you were in the chat room, you would need to call in area code 347-945-7991. Hit your number one key, and I'll open up your phone lines, and you can talk directly to Mr. Benjamin. You can ask him those questions that's on your mind. Don't leave here saying, I wish I had asked him that. Opportunity to do that right here, right now. And no question is too big, or no question is too small. So please.
And the thing is, I mean, I think when we talk about education, I mean, I think it's all driven by questions, you know. I ask myself, how can I do better for myself? How can I do better for my family? That's the question. And as I try to answer that question, things come up. You know, I just want one last thing before I want to leave. Before I leave this Kendall book, it's called "What Makes a Great Great." And he gives us 9 disciplines of wealth, and we already talked about one. I talked about dedication to lifelong learning, but I want to throw out the other 8. And one, number one is clarity. He says, "Be clear about what you want." Clarity. Number 2 is finding the right vocation. You can't be great if you're doing something you don't like. Number 3, superior sales skills. You got to sell yourself. You got to sell your ideas. Number 4, the ability to execute ideas. A lot of us have good ideas but no follow through. Number 5, persistence. I mean, don't give up. Don't give up. Number 6, again, dedication to lifelong learning. Number 7, service. You know, what is your business about? How is it of service to other people? 8, spirituality. You know, that inner connection to God, a higher power, whatever you want to call it. We need that. And number 9, savings. See, a lot of us have to understand that you can't spend all your money before you make it. Okay? You can't do that because you're not going to help yourself. So, again, 1, clarity. 2, find the right vocation. 3, superior sales skills. 4, the ability to execute ideas. 5, persistence. 6, a dedication to lifelong learning. 7, service. 8, spirituality. And 9, savings. And this is from Dr. Dennis Kimbrough from a book entitled What Makes the Great Great. And this is Strategies for Extraordinary Achievement. Again, mindset. You can't. I mean, it's like a diet. You can't stay healthy if you fill yourself with junk food. You know, you can't be healthy if you do the things that are going to hurt you. I mean, you gotta build that mind. And as it says in the book by T. Harv Eker, you know, build that millionaire mind. You know, the millionaire mind. Think rich to get rich, and being rich is not a bad thing.
Well, people realize that thinking rich is not a bad thing when they have to go to the grocery store, or when you have to go to your gas stations, or what about if you wanted to take a vacation with your children, or you wanted to take to Disney World? What if you wanted to go on a cruise with your husband, your wife, with your mate? You know, I realized this greatly, you know, when my father passed away. He didn't have a lot of funerals costs, you know.
Yeah.
It's not free to leave here, you know, and my mother. So
But we got to be ready for that. I mean, I think that, again, I mean, you know, that's why we want to become future thinkers. I think it's not too old, it is not too late, because as long as you're on this planet, there's a possibility that you might see tomorrow. And the possibility that you might see the next day, and the possibility that you might see the day after that. And I would hate to be the kind of person that, you know what, I'm waiting for something to happen, but I'm not making anything happen. You know, I mean, it's not too late. It's not too late to realize your dreams. It's not too late to fight for your dreams. It's not too late to change your mindset. It's not too late to change your circumstances. It's not too late to build yourself up. It's not too late to really plant the tree. And I'm saying at this point, I know you as well as I do, we're planting trees now that we will never see. I'm planting trees now for not my grandchildren, but my grandchildren's children. And I will see that. But I want to plant that seed now. And again, that's one of the things that makes me wealthy, the fact that I'm looking out for my future generations. I want to make sure that I leave a legacy of success that I didn't have. I had to play a lot of catch-up, you know. But I caught up, but I'm not going to let my grandchildren, my grandchildren's children go for that. It's just not necessary.
Right, right. So not necessary. So not necessary.
Yeah.
There's so many things that we can do, you know, now to empower our families and the people around us, like you said before, Terry. There's no excuse, none, that we cannot have the success that we want and get it, you know. It's just no excuse. it's too much out there. You got Blog Talk Radio, anytime.
Yes.
Dial in and listen to this kind of talk in the morning to help start their day.
I know I'm energized. I'm ready to do something now.
Exactly. Right.
I really got to be a millionaire. Because I got the millionaire mind now.
Yes, you're ready. Because you know it's never too late.
That's the point. That's the point. It's never too late.
It's just never too old. You're never too old.
Never.
Million mindset to think and grow rich so that you can be able to bless the people. Like my sister tells me, she says, listen, I know God told me he's going to use me to bring great wealth through me for the kingdom.
That's something. Yeah, I feel the same way. Yes.
Yeah, for even those people who say, well, I'm such a Christian. Well, if you were such a Christian, then you know you had, because the wealth ain't for you.
Mm-hmm.
The wealth is to build the kingdom.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Yeah, it's to help. I mean, right now, Terry, do you know how many just homeless men and women who need a place to stay? You can't even pay rent. You can't even pay rent without money. Imagine trying to open a shelter.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I mean, understand that, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things about being older, if you do it right, okay, you retire, you don't have to do a 9-to-5, but you still don't miss any meals, you still have everything that you need. I mean, I think, again, we need to have our basics, because if we don't even have the basics, we can't even think about rising above that, but at least, you know, at least secure that.
Yes, at least. At least. You know, I tell you, just wonderful. This has just been so, so great. And I thank you. I knew you were down to like the last.
Thank you so much. All right. You know, hopefully people understand that the art of conversation is not dead.
Yeah.
We need to, I think in the schools, they should have a course on conversation because these kids, they can't even hold a conversation because they don't have anything in their heads.
And yet they have so much there.
So much to say, right?
So much, but I mean, they have so much richness because it's within them. That's what we're saying. Everything that I've always, it's there. We have to provide ways for them to get it out productively. So you have to hold those local and community-based.
That's what it's about. You know, really understanding that all the education and knowledge that we have are in the libraries or on the internet. I mean, it's free. All you have to do is just reach out and you can get it. Nobody, you know, they made an old joke about, you know, black people says you want to hire something from a black person, put it in a book. Well, hopefully, you know, a lot of things that are old and cliche, let's hope that that is old. Let's hope that that's an obsolete thought. You know, let's hope that, you know, you can't hide anything from people if they have the desire to learn, you know.
Yeah.
Because learning is lifelong. As long as you're on this planet, you're learning something. Even if you're trying not to learn something, you're going to learn something. So once you learn something that's going to be positive, rather than learning something that's going to be negative, it's going to hurt you in the long run.
So much to learn. So much to learn.
So
little.
So much.
But it's good because here's the thing. You get to do it all your life.
You have to rush
and learn anything. So we only just have less than 30 seconds. So I want to make sure I get in any props for you, Mr. Benjamin. I know you'll be back next Tuesday with another topic. This week you were talking about it's never too old and you're never too late to get wealth. And again, it's been great, Terry Benjamin. You can connect with him right there on Facebook. Terry, any other information? In-house publishing, they have their website. Any other information out, Mr. Benjamin? You have about 60 seconds.
No, please, just read. Okay, read, and think. That's all. And I will read. And don't tell me you don't know what to read, because every week we give you books and authors. We give you a thinking man's diet, and we want you to feast. And then you won't gain any weight. How about that?
Wow. Pretty soon people will be.
This is food for thought. Low calorie. No calories, you know.
No, that people will be calling me into the show just to get the names of those books that you're giving out, Terry. Powerful.
Yeah.
And
they can go to Facebook and, you know, they can talk to me or talk to you, and I'd be glad to give them the books and give them titles if they missed them and whatnot. But, yeah, every Tuesday we're going to really help people live long, long, productive lives. They're going to be happy.
Yeah, and Mr. Benjamin will be back next week to talk more about how this clear thinking, how this reading, and the other things that we've been talking about and he's been proposing here, how it's going to help you live healthier and longer. And that's what, I can't wait, that's going to be, So
yes, yes.
We'll talk about it next week, he'll talk about it the week after, but that's powerful right there, Terry.
Yes, he's going to do it.
Can help you live happier, healthier, and longer. Wow. Especially for all your children and your grandchildren.
it's about future thinking, you know. That's what it's about, future thinking.
Wow. We're going to talk about that next week and come with your questions. Terry, thank you so much. Have an awesome day. I know you're on your way probably to go teach somewhere.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going to do that, you know. I'm fired up now.
Tell your students. Tell your students.
I will. Yeah, they know. They know. They're probably listening, you know.
Okay. All right. I know there's a couple of people hitting me up already on Facebook. The lady, I asked her if she wanted questions. She said she was just listening and learning.
Okay.
And she so agreed with your talk about showing up early. So we have people. I have met people and people, students. I'm going to be having them tune in to the show. And you and I can talk, you know, you can inbox me, and let's see if there's a better time that you think we should also do the show to get more visibility. I'm open because I have the whole station. You just tell me if there's a better time I can fit it in. We can do it not only in the morning. We can do live. Sure, anybody can go back and listen to the archive anytime. But if people want to actually be able to, because some people are listening and they're at work and they can't talk.
Of course, No, but again, I think just having a conversation, just getting information out there and building on information. Because I think this program built on the last program, the next program is built on that, and who knows, you know, we might mess around and have a book. Just based on conversations. How about that?
Oh, we got a book, Terry. You already know that.
How about that?
But you are the master publisher. I'm convinced of that. Trust me. I got so many.
We're going to do it.
So you're the man. No, people don't know. People don't know that you are a true publisher, editor, writer, author. You're all those things. And everything that I know about getting a book written, not everything, but most of what I know about getting a book written, I got from you.
Okay.
I got from you.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, you taught me a lot about getting a book done. And the only regret I really had is that I didn't take you as an English professor. Because had I taken you as an English professor back in 92, when I was at UC, I probably would have wrote a book.
Well, you're still on track, you know.
Yes, I definitely agree with you on that. Because everywhere we are, we're on track. So I just wanted to compliment you on that. You got, wow, if anybody wants to write a book, we will be doing some more writing and publishing work.
Definitely
going to do that. Come out. So anyway, take care, everybody. Don't forget, phenomenal preparation breeds phenomenal success. Go and make it happen for yourself. Be a participant in your own destiny. You can take control. And this has been Coach Elisa here with Mr. Terry Benjamin every Tuesday for healthy aging and lifelong learning. And we'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same place. All right, Mr. Benjamin, it's been great.
Same here. Take care. God bless you.
Great day.